Well, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Proverbs, but to chapter 8. We've been in the book of Proverbs for some time now, and if we could sum up what Proverbs is all about in one word, you all help me out, what would it be? Wisdom. Yes. That's right. It's all about wisdom. We've seen the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It requires a right relationship to God in order to have wisdom to order our lives according to the knowledge of God and to apply His truths to our lives. We must fear Him. Wisdom isn't just a pile of information. It starts in a relationship with God, fearing the Lord. We must be on the way of wisdom, which always ends in blessing and eternal life. We must avoid the way of folly that always ends in death. Wisdom herself, we've heard, call out to the simple and to the fool and even to the mocker or the scoffer to listen to her. There's great danger in ignoring wisdom and rejecting her. Now, wisdom is personified sometimes in Proverbs. That's what we're going to see in chapter 8 today. It's personified as a woman crying out. We must heed her voice. There's great danger in ignoring her, but that's the nature of a fool. That's what we've seen as we've gone throughout Proverbs, that a fool is defined by his rejection of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. They think they know it all already. I don't need your help. I don't need your guidance. I don't need to listen to you. I got it. That's the definition of a fool, is to reject wisdom. That always results in doom and destruction, rejecting wisdom. Even though it seems right. Like, I know the way I want to go. It seems right to me, so I'm not going to listen to wisdom. It seems right, but it always ends in destruction. Listen to Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There's a way that seems right to a man, and that's the fool. Seems right to me, so I'm not going to listen to you or you. I'm not going to listen to God's word. I'm just going to go the way that seems right to me. There's a way that seems right to a man. But do you know how that verse ends? But its end is the way to death. Seems right. Seems good. Like, everybody else is doing it. It ends in death. The way of wisdom is the way of hating what God hates and loving what God loves, going the way that God says to go according to His word. It's the way we've seen of sexual purity. It is the way of righteousness and justice. It is the straight way, not the crooked way. And this father that has been instructing his son in these speeches about wisdom in Proverbs 1 through 9, he wants his son not to be enticed by sinners, like our memory verse, not to be seduced by the immoral woman that we've seen in chapter 5 and 6 and 7. He wants his son to be taken with and to be enamored with Lady Wisdom. And so in chapter 8, he gives us, in the words of Wisdom herself, a portrait of wisdom. And it becomes evident as you read Wisdom crying out for our attention that the voice of wisdom is the voice of God. The things that characterize wisdom are the things that characterize God Himself. And remember, when we come to the New Testament, we see that Christ is the wisdom of God. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Let's see today what the Lord God has to say to us through this personification of wisdom, Lady Wisdom, in Proverbs 8 today. I want to read the whole chapter so you get the whole portrait that He gives us. Now, the plan is to just get through verse 21 today, verses 1 through 21, and then come back in weeks to come to the rest of it. But let's read the whole chapter. You can follow in your copy as I read from the Word of God, Proverbs chapter 8. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries aloud, "To you, O men, I call. And my cries to the children of man, O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They're all straight to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than jewels. And all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me, kings reign, and rulers decree what is just. By me, princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. Now that's a lot. That's a mouthful. Wisdom has a lot to say. So again, I hope to get through verse 21 this morning, and we'll organize our thoughts about these verses this way. I want to talk about the call of wisdom, the righteousness of wisdom, the value of wisdom, the usefulness of wisdom, and the reward of wisdom. Those are a little bit arbitrary, and we'll sort of jump around to gather some of those thoughts together, but I think we'll see something of all of these notions here. From wisdom, we start with the call of wisdom in verses 1 through 5. And Dad here sort of sets up the scene for us, flowing out of the talk he's just given in chapter 7. It ends with that seductress, her house being the way to hell itself, being the way to death and destruction, not the good that the son was promised by the seductress, but rather destruction. Following out of that, Dad gives us a sort of a rhetorical question. It expects a positive response. Doesn't wisdom... So here's this lady folly. Here's this seductress. She's calling out for your attention. She's trying to seduce you. But then he says, doesn't Lady Wisdom call? Does not wisdom call? And the answer is, of course, yes. And you know what? We could say that to everyone here. Parents might say to their children, isn't Lady Wisdom calling? And you say, I haven't heard her. You know what? Ignoring her doesn't make it like she's not there. You can pretend like she's not there. You can ignore her. You can be like a toddler that will hide under a blanket. And then he thinks that you can't see him. And you're not there. And he's not there in his little mind. You can try to do that with Lady Wisdom. You can say, nope, I haven't heard her. She's there. You know that she's there. Doesn't Lady Wisdom call? Yes. Yes, she does. We heard her back in chapter 1. Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the market. She raises her voice. And again, here she's in a prominent place. And without totally drilling down into all the imagery of verses 2 and 3, suffice it to say she's hard to miss. She is on the heights. She is between the pathways. She's at the busiest intersection in town. She's at Center and Detroit Street in Warsaw. Okay, so our intersections aren't really all that busy, not necessarily thoroughfares of business like you might expect in the ancient Near East. But she is where she is going to be found. She's also at City Hall. She's at the gates of the town where decisions are made. She's not going to be missed. You'll see her, you'll hear her. You can ignore her, but she is there and you can't miss her. She's not alone there. I want you to turn over to chapter 9 for a moment. We've already seen this seductress, this woman trying to seduce, and she is finding young men and pulling them aside. So Lady Wisdom is not alone in crying out to get the attention of those who pass by. Look at chapter 9 with me. The first few verses. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She's slaughtered her beast. She's mixed her wine. She's set her table. She's preparing for a great feast. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. So there's Lady Wisdom, highest places in the town, just like here. She's on the heights. But then look at verse 13 of chapter 9. The woman Folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by. We're going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let them turn in here. When you go to these places, these intersections, these heights of the towns, you won't only find Lady Wisdom crying out. You'll find Lady Folly is there as well. She wants you to ignore Wisdom. She is trying to seduce men into thinking that their own way is best and that they don't need wisdom. And that just underscores the reality of what we see in our own lives. Are there not competing voices? It would be beautiful. It would be lovely if the only voices we heard were the voices of wisdom. The voice of God was the only voice we heard. Reading His Word, hearing it preached, having it communicated to us lovingly by a friend. Maybe discussing it with a group of believers, having it taught to us by parents. Wouldn't that be great? One unified voice of God's wisdom, that's what we hear, and never a competing voice to try to... That would be wonderful. That's not what it is. That's not reality. There are competing voices. Even when we come to church, we are bombarded with temptations to listen to the voice tempting us to pride and to disdain and to gossip and to slander and to lust and to fear and to folly. There are competing voices everywhere we go, when we drive down the road, when we get online, when we turn on the TV, when we put our headphones in. They're everywhere. Out of our own heart, evil comes. And so it will be, competing voices, but there is wisdom crying out. And so we need to know how to discern which voice to listen to. To listen to wisdom and not all of these competing voices that are seeking to turn us away from wisdom, away from God. And what Proverbs 8 does, it helps us discern which is the voice of Lady Wisdom. She's going to describe the way she talks, what she says. And it'll help us to know which voices we are to listen to. Some things about wisdom become evident to us. So her call is in verses 4 and 5. To you, O men, I call to all the sons of men, the sons of Adam, all mankind. Now remember, Proverbs is a father speaking to a son. And so dad puts wisdom in terms of a woman. Stay away from the woman who seduces you to sin. Run to the woman, wisdom. Now, if you're a woman, don't tune out. This is a call for everyone. If this was a mother writing to her daughter, she might have put the terms of wisdom as a man crying out. Right? So we all need to listen to this call. If you're female today, don't tune me out. Just because, again, it says it's for the sons of men, or for to you, O men, I call. It's to all of us. Specifically, verse 5, it's for the two categories we've seen in Proverbs, for the naive or the simple, and for the fool. O simple ones, O naive ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. She warns them, she commands them actually to understand prudence and to understand heart or sense. We've seen that the naive lack heart or sense back in chapter 7 and before that. Here she says, you need to understand sense. You need to understand heart. Come on, men. Come on, all of you. Understand prudence. It's a command. And so wisdom is trying to get you to understand how to apply truth and knowledge to your life. You need this prudence. And there's one of the first differences from some of the other voices that you will hear in your life. Folly will tell you to listen to yourself. Oh, follow your heart. Just do whatever your heart tells you to do. The Bible says the heart is corrupt. It's deceptive. It's wicked. Out of the heart comes evil. Don't follow your heart. It's really, really bad advice. Wisdom doesn't tell you that. She says, understand prudence, understand true heart, understand sense. And much of the rest of the chapter, then, she spends showing us her credentials and what great blessing she will bring. So that's a little bit of the call of wisdom. Think now about the righteousness of wisdom. And here we start to see just how drastically different she is than the other voices that you will hear as you walk through this world. In verses 6 through 9, wisdom describes the words that come out of her mouth, and it's sublime, it's beautiful. Her words are, verse 6, noble and right or straight. Verse 7, she utters truth. Her words, verse 8, are righteous. On the flip side, wickedness is an abomination to her lips. Verse 7, there's nothing twisted or crooked or perverse in her words. Verse 8, the way of wisdom is straight, and so are the words that Lady Wisdom speaks. They're straight, they're right, they're true. You think about her words. To Lady Wisdom is accustomed to righteousness and truth coming from her mouth. Imagine what a revulsion it must be to think about lies or wickedness crossing those lips. She says, those things are an abomination to my lips. Think about it in terms of someone who loves their chocolate. Sweetened chocolate, right? They love for that to pass their lips. They love for it to be on their tongue and to savor that. No, somebody comes along and without warning swaps out that sweetened chocolate for 100% pure unsweetened cocoa. A chocolate bar with no sweetener in it. And that chocolate lover comes to that chocolate bar and they don't even look to see that it might look a little different. And they put that in their mouth anticipating sweetness and bah, it's bitter. They can't, it's an abomination to them. And that's that Lady Wisdom. Truth is all that flows out of her mouth. It's sweet. And the thought of lies and crooked speech are even worse than the bitterness of that unsweetened chocolate. If it ever got near her lips, she would spew it out. It's an abomination to her. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There's nothing twisted or crooked in them. And you begin to see why the voice of wisdom crying out here is the voice of God. Who could say that but God? So for Lady Wisdom, wicked and twisted and perverted words have no place on her tongue. They are vile. Verse 13, she hates perverted speech. The very last part of verse 13 there, perverted speech, I hate. She also, verse 13, hates evil, pride, arrogance, and the way of evil. You're seeing the righteousness of wisdom. She hates crooked words, lies. She hates evil, pride, arrogance, and the way of evil. Back in chapter 6, we saw a list of things that God hates and saw there his majestic holiness. And so we're not going to repeat all of that here, but you see the righteousness of the wisdom of God and of the God of wisdom here. To fear the Lord in wisdom is to hate pride, evil, arrogance, the way of evil, and perverted speech. Of course it is. Verse 13, it just makes sense. The fear of the, remember what else the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? So this is Lady Wisdom. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Wisdom, the wise woman, hates evil, pride, arrogance, and the evil way. And we must hate it too. Excuse me. When we talk about hating these things, pride and arrogance and evil and perverted speech are not little things that we can trifle with. Oh, a little pride never hurt anybody. A little arrogance. A little perverted speech. No, wisdom hates these things. God hates them, and so must we. Psalm 97 and verse 10, the first part of the verse says, "Oh, you who love the Lord, hate evil." Even in our reading this morning from Psalm 119, I hate every false way. In verse 128. So what folly and pride to exalt ourselves, to indulge a little pride and arrogance, knowing that God is the exalted one. Wisdom hates pride. So may we be wise. We must hate what God hates and cultivate what he loves. If we would keep company with Lady Wisdom, we can't speak perversion or be proud. Charles Bridges says, and it's sort of striking when he puts it this way, a proud disciple of a lowly Savior? How offensive is this contradiction to our Master? Jesus, who humbled himself, and we as disciples think that we should be pretty full of ourselves, and we would never say that, but doesn't pride so easily bubble up? Oh, God, let us be humble. May God make us humble. That should be the prayer of our heart. God, make us humble. So are the voices that you're hearing in your life calling you to pride or humility? That will help you discern whether it's the voice of wisdom or the voice of folly. Are the voices in your life calling you to truth or to lies? Are they calling you to righteousness according to the standard of God's word or to evil? That will help you discern the voice that you're hearing. Wisdom is righteous. You see that in verse 20. That's the way she walks in. I walk in the way of righteousness and the paths of justice. We would expect nothing less from Lady Wisdom, that she's walking in the path of righteousness and justice. Of course, that's where she walks. That's what she produces in those who possess you. That's where you'll find the wise and where you will be if you are wise, on the path of righteousness. You'll find that this is true. Verse 9, they are all straight to him who understands, right to those who find knowledge. If you understand, if you find that understanding, you find knowledge, they will be straight. You will find that she is exactly right. It won't always be obvious, the voices that you're hearing, but that's why we're to be seeking and cultivating and acquiring wisdom day by day, so that when the voices sound out in our ears, the differences between them, when they're narrower than black and white, we'll be able to use the wisdom that God has given us to discern which voice we should listen to. So the voice of God is the voice of wisdom. You won't literally find a woman named Wisdom down at the corner of Detroit and Center Street. But by God's grace, you will find her right here at 2626 East Jefferson Street as the Word of God is proclaimed. You'll find it as you sit down with the Word of God each morning and see what God has to say to you from His Word. You'll find it as you discuss these things over coffee with a friend and sit down to read the Bible with a friend. You'll find them as your parents instruct you in the ways of the Lord. You will hear the voice of Lady Wisdom calling out. Do you have ears to hear? She's there. She is calling out. She is righteous. Thirdly, I want us to see the value of wisdom. Verses 10 and 11. Wisdom offers something to those who might be tempted by the promise of riches from the wicked and from the violent. That's a very real temptation. We've seen it already in Proverbs. It's one of the enticements of the wicked. Come on, we'll all share one purse. We're going to have wealth. We're going to plunder the innocent. We're going to have money. And here she offers a counter to that. The temptation for pursuing wealth by foolish, wicked means, that's a strong temptation. But it needs hold no attraction for those who heed Lady Wisdom. Make sure you're listening to her voice and not the enticement of wisdom. She offers instruction. And that word is sometimes translated discipline. Verse 10, take my instruction, discipline, instead of silver. And you say, what? Discipline? I don't like discipline. Discipline hurts. The Bible even says no discipline is pleasant for the moment, but painful. How could you say it's better than silver? And knowledge rather than gold? Wisdom better than jewels? Yep. This is no health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. Now, wisdom does makes the promise of wealth to us, but what she offers, that comes later, but what she offers is better than any of that. It's better by far. Here is a right valuation, and it tracks with what we've already seen. We saw it back in chapter 3. He's going to say it again in chapter 16. And verse 16, how much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. Understanding, what you can glean from the Word of God with the help of the Holy Spirit, that is better than having your bank account so full that you'll never be able to spend it. Way better. It's not just Proverbs that affirms that. Psalm 119, verse 72 says, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. We read again this morning in our reading, Psalm 119, verse 127, therefore I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. It's better. This tips the value system of the world right upside down. This is going to help you distinguish between the voice of wisdom and the voice of folly. The world is saying you need money and as much of it and as much of the things that money can buy as you can lay your hands on. And Lady Wisdom says, what I have is better than that. Wisdom is better. Anything wrong with having money? The things that it can buy? Nope. Now, the love of money can be a root of all sorts of evil. But what wisdom offers is better. I really appreciate this estimation of wisdom's value. And then what she says in the second part of verse 11, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. All that you may... I'm capable of desiring a lot. I think we probably all are. There are a lot of things that I want. A lot of times those desires are tainted by sin, sinful desires. But man, we are capable of desiring lots of things. If you're honest with yourself, you know that's true. We want and we want and we want. And wisdom says, all that you may desire, all desires cannot compare with her. The question then becomes, what do I desire? I take all my desires and I put them on the scale with wisdom, and it won't be even. Wisdom's still going to tip the scale in her direction. She's better than all of that. So what do I desire? What do I want? What am I trying to get out of life? And we're starting to ask idolatry questions. It had better be wisdom. It had better be God himself. Do I desire wisdom as much as I desire these lesser desires of comfort and ease and peace and health and prosperity? Things. We get to the New Testament, we see Christ as the wisdom of God. Do we desire Jesus above everything else? What occupies the throne of your heart? Is it your desires, or is it the wisdom of God, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Proverbs pursues that theme, and I want us to chase it down for a few minutes this morning. The overarching question here is, what do you desire? What holds the top place in your affections? Wisdom is saying, what I have is better than wealth and riches. That's a fact. That's reality. But which is more valuable to you? Which do you value more highly? What holds that place? Would you rather have Christ and be poor by this world's standards, or would you rather have great wealth, again, by this world's standards, and be without Christ? Proverbs has the answer, if you have an ear to hear the voice of wisdom. Or excuse me, I just went back up in my notes. Proverbs does have the answer to that question. What are your desires? What do you desire? What is your aim? What is your great passion? What occupies the throne of your heart? So look at some of these other proverbs from Proverbs. Other better than this Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 15 with me. Proverbs 15. Verses 16 and 17. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. Do you believe that? The world is going to tell you something very, very different. And verse 17 is hard for a meat lover like me. But a dish of herbs and veggies with love is better than a nice big steak and hatred with it. Do you believe that? Do I believe it when push comes to shove? The wisdom is better. The world is going to tell you that the sensual pleasures of sex and gluttony and money are better than anything else. Wisdom exposes that lie. Will you listen to her? Will you go with what seems right in your own eyes? It seems better to me to go this way. Wisdom better than gold and all that it can buy? Don't do what's right in your own eyes. Do what God says is right. Turn over to chapter 16 and verse 8. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. Righteousness with a little bit is better than injustice with plenty. Verse 19 of the same chapter. It is better to be of a lowly spirit with the poor than to divide the spoil with the proud. Remember, wisdom hates pride. We've just seen that. It's better to be lowly and have nothing in this life than to be proud and have everything. Chapter 17, verse 1. Again, I mean, do you believe that about humility? That it's better to be low and to have nothing in this life than to be an arrogant person and have everything that the world has to offer? Stark contrast. Chapter 17 and verse 1. Better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. Quiet life of wisdom is better than the fighting life of folly, even if it means your meals aren't as good. Man, I like a good meal too. I desire good food, but it can't compare with a life of wisdom. Chapter 19 and verse 1. Better is a poor person who walks in his integrity than one who is crooked in speech and is a fool. Integrity, even if it means poverty, is better than perversity and crookedness in your mouth with folly. What do you desire? What's more valuable to you? Wisdom says that what she has is more valuable by far. One way to uncover idols in your heart is to ask questions like these about our desires. If you can fill in this blank with anything other than Christ, God, His wisdom, then you have an idol. I can't be happy without fill in the blank. If I lose, then my life will be over. Those are questions that help us discern what's most important to us. So hear wisdom this morning. All desires can't compare with her. If you try to elevate anything to that position, that thing, that person, whatever it is that you desire, it will let you down and it will disappoint you, and it is an idol. What do your desires say about you? I hope this is a comfort to those here who follow Christ. When you see the prosperity of the wicked all around you and question whether your faith is worth it, come back here and see that by God's grace, you have made the better choice, better by far. What's happening so briefly in this lifetime can't compare with the eternity of blessedness that we are to enjoy. And if you don't know Christ, I hope these words will open your eyes to the foolish, short-sighted nature of the choice that you're making. If you're choosing the things of this world rather than Christ, it will end in death, and the pleasure that you get will be very short compared to all of eternity. So that's something of the value of wisdom. Think with me now about the usefulness and characteristics of wisdom. With wisdom, verse 12, come prudence, knowledge, and discretion. Verse 14, counsel, sound wisdom, insight, and strength. There's nuances to those words that we're not going to dig into this morning, but there's the application here of wisdom to various aspects of our life that we find, various situations that we find ourselves in. When we, by God's grace, have wisdom and knowledge, we fear the Lord and we've gained wisdom, it enables us to act with prudence and discretion as we face challenges, temptations, suffering. Wisdom gives us good counsel when we face uncertainty and difficult circumstances. We're talking about her usefulness here. Her insight serves us well in the intricate complexities of parenting or workplace ethics or neighborly disputes that arise in your neighborhood. Wisdom has help for us in all of these areas and more in every part of life. And she has strength, verse 14, for us to act on that good sense and sound wisdom. Wisdom keeps good company. And when we pursue wisdom, these companions come along and that serves us well. It protects us. Wisdom enables us to plan. It enables us to make good decisions. It enables us to scrutinize, to discern between right and wrong. So besides being right and righteous, wisdom is very practically helpful. She's useful. It's useful to have wisdom as you walk through this world instead of going your own way. Now, Lord willing, next time we want to see the, which won't be next week, but next time we get back to Proverbs, we want to see the ruler of the universe using wisdom in the creation of the world and how there's reason to see Christ in those verses present at creation. But for this week, notice the earthly rulers do well to rule with wisdom. Verses 15 and 16. Again, talking about the usefulness of wisdom. By me, kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me, princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. When rulers rule with godly wisdom, they prescribe righteousness. They decree what is just. They govern justly. Wisdom is how rulers reign and legislate, which is an indictment of many rulers today, many legislators. We might question those who don't prescribe righteousness and justice, who don't judge with righteousness. Do they have wisdom? And many in many cases, the answer is no, if we're talking about biblical wisdom. That begins with the fear of the Lord. Rulers rule by wisdom, and we see such a lack of that in our day. Those rulers who reject Christ as Lord will be poor rulers indeed. It's interesting, they rule by the authority of Christ, and they wouldn't have that position without him. But in rejecting him, they're guaranteeing their failure in truly just rule. Now, you take these verses here as a personification of God himself. The voice of wisdom is the voice of God. And then one of the interpretations of these verses is a parallel of Romans 13. It's by God that rulers have their position of authority at all. But certainly rulers are to rule with wisdom. It begins with the fear of the Lord by the power and help of Christ. So wisdom is useful. It will pay great dividends, not just for rulers, but for everyone who embraces her, for college students and husbands and wives and business owners and parents and siblings and neighbors and employees and employers and all of us. Wisdom will be useful. God will guide and direct us and counsel us by his wisdom in his word. So it will be useful, but also, lastly, there is great reward with wisdom. Verses 17 through 19. Verse 17, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. There's great reward with wisdom. Isn't love what so many people are looking for? You'll find it in wisdom. Wisdom loves those who love her, as does our good God. Praise him that he sets his love on us while we were unlovable. Praise him that he gives us a new heart that wants to love him and pursue wisdom. Otherwise, we would never love him. We love because he first loved us. But he does love those who love him. What a sweet thing. This woman, wisdom. Do you remember the seductress, the other woman back in Proverbs 7? Remember what she said in verse 18 of chapter 7? Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. She promised love. Remember that? But this woman, wisdom, she won't spit you out and kick you to the curb and send you to hell when she's done with you. The seductress who promises love, that's what she will do. She doesn't deliver on love. Wisdom genuinely does deliver on love. Seek her while she may be found, friends. And she's willing to be found. Verse 17 again. And those who seek me diligently find me. We've talked about that diligent pursuit of and search for wisdom. You do that, you will find wisdom. She is willing to be found. Now, there will be a day when it's too late. We saw that in chapter 1, too. She cried out, people rejected her, and then at the end, they cried out and it was too late. Chapter 1, 28, 29, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. You'll reap what you sow if you continue to reject wisdom. Go your own way. I don't need wisdom. I'm going to go my own way. It seems right to me. When you finally realize at the end and stand before God that your way was the wrong way, then you seek for wisdom, it will be too late. So seek now. She's willing to be found. She's standing with her arms open wide. Come to me as God cries out to us. In Isaiah 55 and verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Jesus says, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. God stands with his arms open and he says, come, seek me while I may be found. And he's willing to be found by us. Come and you will find and you will be saved by God's grace. Don't ignore the voice of wisdom. Don't ignore the voice of God crying out to you. So wisdom says, I love you. I'll love those who love me. I'll receive those who diligently seek me. There's more. There's more reward with wisdom. Verses 18 and 19, riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. Now listen, friends, we've already seen that wisdom is way better than anything money can buy. and the money itself. But there may well be profit from living in wisdom, from running a business well with wisdom and righteousness. There may be some measure of material prosperity for God's people in this life, but there also may not be in this life. But for eternity, we will have enduring wealth, great riches and glory. The silver and gold of this world will fade. It'll hold no value in the life to come. You can't take your bank account with you. It's not going to do you any good. You can pile up money all you want here, and it won't do you any good after you breathe your last breath. But what wisdom has is better: enduring prosperity for all of eternity in the presence of God, enduring wealth and righteousness. Her fruit, verse 19, is again, is what we've already seen. It's better than gold, even fine gold. My yield than choice silver. Must be worth repeating, because Proverbs does it repeatedly. It's chapter 3, it's twice here in chapter 8, it's again in chapter 16. What wisdom offers is better than riches. It's superior. So verse 20, as she walks down the way of righteousness and justice, verse 21, she gives an inheritance to those she loves, filling them with treasure. Doesn't specify exactly in verse 19 what her fruit or her yield are. Verse 21, what her, their inheritance will consist of, their treasury, but it's real. It points to substance here, I think. What the world offers you is temporary. It's not lasting. It's not real. But what wisdom offers will last forever. What wisdom is holding out is worth holding on to. Cling to wisdom, and you'll find great blessing. Ultimately, we'll see. We've seen some of what she yields. She's useful. She guides us. She protects us. Wisdom helps us as we walk through this life. But then skip down to verse 35, and we'll cheat a little bit. We'll run ahead. But notice what her yield is, what her benefit is. For whoever, verse 35, whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. And that's what you'll see again and again in Proverbs. The way of righteousness, the way of wisdom, always ends in life, because it's the way of the fear of the Lord. It's the way of trusting in Christ alone for your salvation. And if you want to live, then you will pursue wisdom. You will cling to Christ with everything that you have. There you will find life and favor from the Lord. There's not much more we could ask for. So there's nothing more we could ask for. We could ask for other things, but none of it holds a candle to the reward of life and eternal life that wisdom offers to us through Christ. So that's the call, the righteousness, the value, the usefulness, and the reward of wisdom. Still to come in chapter 8 are the origins and activities of wisdom and a concluding call to heed wisdom. That's going to come later in chapter 8. I hope we'll see that in weeks to come. But don't wait for that final call at the end of chapter 8. You need to respond to the call of wisdom today. Today is the salvation of the Lord. Is the day of salvation. Seek the Lord while he may be found. She's willing to be found today. So if you, by God's grace, are wise, God has opened your eyes. He's enabled you to pursue wisdom and to trust in Christ. And you are trusting Christ alone. You need to be growing in grace and wisdom. You need to hear the call of wisdom and grow and learn more wisdom and grow still further in that wisdom and pursue it further. But if you are not wise, if to this point in your life you have rejected the voice of wisdom, I don't need you, Lord. I got it. I'll go my own way. If you are naive or a fool, you desperately need to heed the call of wisdom. Have you heard this morning how sweet she is and the great value she offers you? Have you heard how different she is from what the world is offering? Have you heard how she's willing to be found by you? You see, the great blessing can be yours if you embrace her. Don't walk away this morning without crying out to Jesus, who is the wisdom of God, who offers himself to you, who is ready to be found by you, who is better than any amount of money this world could ever offer you. You can walk out of here today as poor as anything, but you could walk out of here rich because you have Jesus, because you know him, because you put your faith in him, and your eternal security is taken care of. That could be yours today. And it's better, again, than any wealth the world could offer. The choice is stark. Here is a pile of gold. Let's put it over here. Here is a pile of gold, okay? Not gold like we've been talking about. Let's talk about real physical gold. Let's put the terms like this. Over here on your right hand is a pile of gold. Okay? And over here is a steaming pile of what the neighbor's dog just left in your yard. So which are you going to choose? Okay? You know which you choose there. Here is eternal, abundant life and blessing over here. And here is painful suffering, death, and agonizing torment forever. Which would you choose? Here is wisdom. And here is the way that you are so doggedly pursuing because it seems right to you. It's obvious that this is the right choice over here, wisdom. Are you going to go to hell because it seemed like a good idea to you? Ah, it seems. Oh, Mom and Dad are kind of stuffy. I don't like what God says is too restrictive. Seems good to me. You are choosing to die when you could have eternal life and blessing and everything that you need. What will you choose? Will you listen to wisdom or will you reject? Remember the verse that we read at the beginning, Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Don't go that way. Go God's way, the way of wisdom, whose end is life. May God make it so. Let's pray together.